Shalom to all. Today's Azur Shalom Shabbos of Yud Beis. We're starting about the ninth line with a quote from the Braisa, Piton, and Vilna Sadaf. It's on Tesla Beis, about three quarters of the way into the Amud. And today's office sponsor, Lila Nishmas, Marsh Merim Sarabas, Yaakov Moshe, her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And now we're going to explain one by one all these different things that we mentioned that they were geyser on that we're not allowed to have. Even though May Ikra Adin, we are allowed to, but the Gzer was, we're not allowed to as a geder, as a protection, so as not to run into bigger issues. So the first one we said was Piton, their bread. This is bread from a non Jew. Now we get into an extensive discussion about this. Rav Yaakov Bracha says, B'shem Rav Yonason, this halacha regarding the bread of a non-Jew is called halacha of imam. Imam is like the lashon of gimgum. That's when a person stutters and they can't get their words out. So imam is the same thing in regards to halacha. The chacham were unsure, do we go this way or that way? And this din of bread of a non-Jew is a halacha of imam. And Amar Rabbi Yosef says, I asked him for Yaakov Racha, ma'am hilchos shel imam. What does that mean, hilchos shel imam? Meaning, what's the practical application of the fact that this is one of the halachas of imam? Kachan u'aymerim, do we say as follows? Here's option one. B'malkum shabas Yisrael mitzuya, that when you're able to find Pas Yisrael, bread baked by a Yid, bedin hoya shetei pas goy masura, the really me'ikra din, non-Jewish bread should be usur. V'imu aleo v'tirua, and they were besafik, they weren't so sure about it, and they said, you know what, it's okay, you could have non-Jewish baked bread. Oy, or option two, v'malkum she'in Pas Yisrael mitzuya, in a place where a person is not able to find Yiddish bread, bedin hoya shetei pas goy muteres, the really me'ikra din, one is allowed to eat bread baked by a non-Jew. V'imu aleo v'asura, but since there was a suffix, they were back and forth, they usured eating bread even in this situation. So Ravana said, v'yesh imum Isser? Is there such a concept of imum for Isser? If we want to be machmir and aser something, so we're not going to use the word imum, we're going to say that they lean towards the chumra side and they asered. Imum is usually a word that's used when we're leaning towards the heter. And furthermore, upas lav tavshila gaimhu, isn't bread something that should be aser because it was cooked by a non-Jew? And since that's the case, kachano imrim, do we say the following? B'malkam she'in tavshila Yisrael mitsuyin, in a place where you're simply not able to find food cooked by a yid, bedin hoya shu tavshila gaim mutarin, that really me'ikra din, something cooked by a non-Jew should be mutar. But nonetheless, they were back and forth, and they said that it's usur. There's no such halacha like that. Elokeini, it must be this is the proper understanding. But makam she'ein pas Yisrael mitzuya, in a place where pas Yisrael is not found, you simply can't find bread baked by a yid. B'din hayishtei pas goyim asura. The ikra din is that bread baked by a non-Jew should be usur. That's what this gzera was. However, ve'imu ale v'tirua, they were back and forth about it. They were besafek, and they ended up saying that it's permitted to have this bread. Why is that? Mipnei chay nefesh, because chay nefesh, a person needs to live. He has to be able to eat something, and we know that bread is the most basic staple of a person's diet, and therefore, even though usually we're not allowed to have non-Jewish baked bread in a place where there's simply no other bread, so they matered it. And we're not going to apply that in regards to other bishuli akum, because all other dishes are not basic to a person's survival, and therefore they're not matered. Now we have a psak about this, Rabban Dikasar and Sei B'Shem Ruyakabar Acha, Kedivri Mishu Hu Matir, like the one who's matir, which is basically what we just explained, that if a person's in an area where there's absolutely no Pas Yisrael, he's allowed to have Pas Akum, Yud Beis Ombeis on top, Uvad Min Al Palter, but it has to be that it comes from a palter. A palter is a large-scale baker, basically walking into a non-Jewish bakery and buying bread from there. However, one is not allowed to have pas akum if it comes from a private individual, and that's because we don't want Yidden to socialize with Goyim, so he's just going to walk into a non-Jewish bakery and buy bread, so there's no socializing issue over there. He goes, buys his bread, and leaves. But if he's going to be getting it from a private individual, not from a palter, so then we're going to run into those issues. And therefore, even if he doesn't have pas Yisrael, he still would not be allowed to buy bread from a private non-Jew. However, says the Gemara, v'loy avdin kain, in practice, they actually didn't do this. Even when they didn't have any Pas Yisrael and there was Pas Akum available from a large-scale bakery, they still didn't buy it. Now the Gemara continues discussing Bishul Akum, a dish cooked by a non-Jew. Amrin Kumi Rav Chiya Ruba, they sent in front of Rav Chiya Ruba, who's Rav Chiya Hagadah, Rav Chiya the Great. Tani Rav Shem Ben-Yichai, Rav Shem Ben-Yichai taught the following braisa. The pasuk tells us, Oichal Tishbru Me'itam Mekesef V'achaltem, you should buy food from them with money and eat it. V'gam Mayim Tichru Me'itam V'gaymer, and you should also buy water from them and drink it. Now we see food and water in this pasuk being purchased from non-Jews. Ma'amayim Shalonish Tanu Mibriyason, just like water, it doesn't change from its creation. It doesn't change from what it is. Even if it's cooked by a non-Jew, that basically just means heating up water, it's still water. So too, the Yidden were being told that anything that's not changed from its original state, that you can purchase from non-Jews, but something that was cooked by them, that means it's changed from its original state, you're not allowed to buy it from them. However, save when that's the following question, what about matlaya, which are different types of seeds soaked in water until they sprout? That's allowed to be purchased from non-Jews, and that's even if they were soaked in hot water, which is like cooking. And upan krisim, which is a type of dish made of smushed dates, the kuptayas and some sort of leek, the klayas and toasted grain, the chamin shalahen and hot water from non-Jews, harei l'mutarin, all these things are permitted. They're allowed to be purchased from non-Jews and obviously be eaten by a yid. Now nicha, kulhen, we understand all the other ones, shein yichayon lahashreis, one could soak them in water, ulahachzer kamay shahayu, and that's going to bring it back to the original state that wasn't before. So it is considered like it's still in its original state, and the guy didn't actually change it by doing whatever he did to it. However, klayas ma, what about toasted grain? Once you toast grain, it's not in its original state. state, but nonetheless we see that one is allowed to buy klayos, toasted grain from non-Jews, and that doesn't fit with our previous explanation. Now Rabbi Yisrael Rabun B'Shem Rav, Rabbi Yisrael Rabun B'Shem Rav answers this question, that really we're not learning anything about Beshel Akum from the Pasuk. This is the din. Kol oichol shu nechol chai k'mais shehu, anything which is able to be eaten raw, as is, ain't b'mishum tafshi l'goyim, and there's no problem of Beshel Akum, of the non-Jew cooking it, and so even if he did cook it, it's not an issue because you could eat it raw. The only thing that's a problem of Beshel Akum is if you can't eat it raw and he cooks it, so then you're not allowed to have it. And that answers the problem of the klayos, toasted grain, because a person could eat grain even before it's toasted, so there's no issue buying even toasted grain from a non-Jew. And by that same token, v'yetzim b'mishum erev tavshilin, a person could be yetzim erev tavshilin with this type of food. We know that erev tavshilin is what a person has to make before Yontif, when Yontif leads into Shabbos, and he wants to be able to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, so he sets erev tavshilin, which has to be a cooked food, and even if this food was cooked by a non-Jew, if it fits this bill of Rabbi Yosef Rabun B'Shem Rav, then it's okay for erev tavshilin. Now the question is, at the end of the day, how does Rabbi Ruba understand the pasuk of Eichel Tishbu Me'itam? Originally, he was learning Bishul Akum from this pasuk. The question was asked on him from toasted grain that doesn't seem to fit with the pasuk. And even though we had an answer, that wasn't Rabbi Ruba's answer. There was Rabbi Yosef Rabun's answer, B'Shem Rav, but not Rabbi Ruba. So what does he do with the pasuk? And the answer is that he explains the pasuk totally differently. That actually has nothing to do with Bishul Akum. We understand as follows: Ba'Eichel Tishbu, we had explained this to mean that you shall buy food. But here the understanding is Ha'achaltoi Shvaratoi, that if you fed him, you broke him. This is a relevant lesson for a person, somebody who hates him, who's making life challenging for him. The pasuk saying you should feed him. If he's being very harsh to you, he's challenging to you, break him with food. And that's going to make him much nicer to you because you fed him. And v'imlav, if that doesn't work, then you can tilt the scales in your favor by giving him money, and that's the lashon of eichel tishbru mitam b'kesef. That if you're not able to win his favor with food, you should give him money. Now, we have a story about this. Amrin Kain Havi Rabbi Yonason Avad. They said that Rabbi Yonason did this. Kad havu chami bar nosh rav ala l'karte, when he saw a very chashiv important minister coming to his area, he would send him presents. And my Omar, what did he say? Meaning, how did he explain himself that he was sending presents to this person? Didn't have a dayan daisam, a dayan da'armala. If this guy would be a dayan, he'd be the judge. He'd preside over a case regarding an orphan. That's a daisam, like a yasam. Or he's a dayan for an almana, for a widow. Nishkach apin mefaisa aloi. We're going to find an apin, which is a face, which means this person can be very pleasantly disposed towards paskening in the favor of this yasam or almana because he was given presents. So we see this idea that even if a person is challenging, he's giving you hardships, you should give him food or maybe even money, and that's going to win his favor. And moving on to the next thing, we say Gvinason, there's a gzeir against the cheese of non-Jews, and we're understanding right now that that's because of the milk of non-Jews. We're afraid that if we get milk from him, there's going to be non-kosher milk mixed inside. Same thing with cheese, that there's going to be non-kosher milk mixed into the cheese, and so no having their cheese. The Gemara tells us, Amar Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah says, Chalav ha-goy, lamahu aser, why is milk from a guy aser? Mishum tarev is beimet mea, because there might be some non-kosher milk mixed inside. V'tani Kain, who was taught like this in Braisa, Amid hu Yisrael be'eder, a yid could stand in the flock of the non-Jew, and the non-Jew can milk the cows or milk the animals and bring it to the Jew, and there's nothing to suspect of because the Yid was there. That's what we call Chalav Yisrael. Since he was there, the guy's not going to mix any non-kosher milk into it. But if the Yid is not there, that's what we call Chalav Stam or Chalav Akum, and there's a chashash that maybe there's some non-kosher milk mixed inside. We have a different answer. Rav Basa says B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav Sima says B'Shem Yeshua ben Levi, Chalav HaGoy Lama Hu Aser, why is milk from a guy Aser? Mishum Giloy. There's a din of Giloy, three things: wine, water, and milk, that if it's left open and exposed, it's not allowed to be drunk and has to be poured out, because maybe a snake came and took a drink himself and left some of his poison, his venom inside, and it's dangerous. A person could die if he drinks it. And that's why milk from a non-Jew is not allowed to be drunk, because he might have just left it open. He doesn't care about giloy, and it's actually dangerous. There might be snake poison in it. As Gemara, why is that an issue? V'yamid, let him curdle it. Literally, this means let it stand. This has to do with curdling it and making it into cheese. And right now, we're understanding the snake poison is not going to be stuck inside the cheese. It's going to rise to the top. You'll be able to skim it off, and so there shouldn't be any issues. However, Omar Shmuel Yitzchak, we still have an issue. There's still some venom that might get stuck among the cracks. We know that when cheese forms, there's natural holes inside it, and some of the snake venom might get stuck in there, and so therefore it's still dangerous. And Vitani Kane, we actually have a brass just like this. Shalesha Ersenhain, there's three different types of snake poison when it drinks from something. Echad Saf, one floats to the top. Vechad Shekea, one sinks to the bottom. Vechad Asik Shikhva, one of them is made like a layer, Va'imun Melamala, and it stands above, which means it basically floats in the middle of the liquid, and therefore you can't just say, like we were understanding originally, the snake poison always flows to the top and you'll just be able to skim it off. It could be stuck somewhere in the middle of the cheese, and therefore there's always going to be a danger. And we continue discussing this. In the days of Rabbi Yirmiyah, is galing gigiyasa de sidra ruba. There's a barrel of water that got opened in the base medrash. Shasam kadamai, the early ones drank from it, meaning some talmidim came along and drank from it, v'le maison, and they didn't die. But then achroi umaison, some people came later to drink from it and they did die. And aniyamir, I say to explain this, iros shekeh hava, that it was poison that sinks to the bottom, and that's why only the ones that drank later died and not the earlier ones. So you always have to be careful. And another another story. There were some workers working up on a mountain. Isgalias kulsa demaya. One of their flasks or canteens of water got left open. And shasun kodemai v'loy maisun. Some of the earlier workers drank and they didn't die. Achrayu maisun. The later people that drank did die, and that's because ani amar I say yiras shekehaya. It was this venom that sinks to the bottom, and that's why the later ones died. So once again, you always have to be careful with galoy. You can't just assume that the venom is going to float to the top. And I continue to discuss this issue of giloy. Hashemen v'chaimetz v'atzir v'amurias v'advash. Oil, vinegar, fish brine, this fish dip that we're talking about, and honey, ain bahen mishum giloy. There's no issue of giloy because the snake won't come and drink from it. However, Reb Shimon Iser, Reb Shimon Asers, if they were left out in the open, and you'll give it all alpha on the top. Manu chacham Reb Shimon, the chacham agreed Reb Shimon, kishiro Iser Niker, when he saw a snake making a hole, that's what Niker literally means. Basically, when he sees a snake by this open vessel of whatever it is, honey or fish brine or oil or whatever, then he does have to suspect that the snake took a drink or at least left some of its poison inside. And Vitani can wave a breath just like this. Avatich Shiniker, if a person came up to a melon and saw that it had holes in it, clearly a snake took a bite out of it. Even if 10 people ate from this melon, or some wine that got left open, even if 10 people drink from it, it's still usher to eat from the melon or drink from the wine after them, because I say that it's poison that sinks to the bottom, and therefore people later on could very potentially get harmed. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to explain these things they were geyser on. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.